What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. We are back again with part two of this week's show. If you have not listened to part one, I highly, highly encourage you to. That was with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Taku Ito, Japanese angler who we look up to very greatly. It's extremely talented. There's a little bit, tiny bit of a communication in regards to understanding English, things like that. But for the most part, it was incredible how fast one Taku has understood English, but some of the information that he dropped for us too was pretty incredible. So make sure you guys go and check that out. Today's episode is the second half of this week's live show, and it is with NPFL Pro Jake Maddox and Bassmaster Open / EQ Pro Julius Mazie, who hails from Arizona. So we got a little Southwest action going on in today's episode. This one's going to be a lot of fun. So we're getting some of the young guns here to obviously talk a little bit of fishing, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to open up who they are beyond just the angler on the front of the boat that's trying to catch a bass. We're gonna see who these guys are as people and characters as well, and encourage you guys to follow these guys on social media, because great dudes, really good characters, a lot to learn from, and they're worth supporting. So make sure you guys check out their socials. Without further ado, let's get into today's show. All right, we are back, and that is another quick reminder for folks that are joined here with X2 Power. If you guys are getting the boat out or getting ready for the season, you can save some money on X2 Power Lithiums and AGMs using code SERIOUSX2. Super simple, down in the description. But let's start getting our guests on here. We're going to bring them on one by one here. And first and foremost, we'll bring on Mr. Jake Maddox. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Good evening.
What's up? How's it going? Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, buddy. It's been a long time coming trying to get you on here. I know we've been talking over social for a little bit, but yeah. It's good to get you on this show, man. I'm excited. We got some pretty fun questions for you and Julius here.
Sweet. Awesome. Looking forward to
it. Yeah, well, let's get Julius on here, and then we'll start diving deep into this thing. So without further ado, let's bring on Julius Mazie. What's going on, man?
Good evening, man.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good. I gotta say, I'm gonna call myself out here, because got back from the honeymoon at midnight on Friday, and kind of lollygagged a little bit, I'll say, on Saturday, getting life back in check. And then it was about Monday, we're getting the show scheduled. We got working with Taku on getting times and everything, and messaged Jake yesterday to try to get on the second half of this. Had another guest lined up to join him, and then kind of fell through, and Jake saved my butt here. And I was like, dude, I need some other up and coming anglers that we got to talk to. And he's like, don't worry, I got you. I got my boy Jewel. we're good here. So I appreciate you.
Oh, so you guys are friends. I didn't even know that dynamic. Oh, yeah. That's sweet. Yeah, that must be real good then.
Yeah, me and Julius, we tackled the Ovens past couple of years, and you were talking about the Japanese guys rooming together. Kenta actually stayed with us at a bunch of tournaments. So that's kind of, we got some of the JDM vibes going too. So
nice.
So you got some juice is what you're saying.
We do.
That's wicked cool.
Jake?
Julius?
Don't worry. We won't try to force any out of you tonight. That's for sure. We got a lot of juice from Taku.
Good. All good, man. Thanks for having me.
To listen to that on the drive tomorrow. So caught the last little bit of that. So looking forward to that. So
it was wicked cool. And I think if he had more time in his schedule, I would have had Taku on for a good couple hours. Those guys are fascinating. But nonetheless, I'm pumped to talk to you guys about here, because I was talking a little bit with Jake. I think this has to be a multi-part deal, because, you know, a bunch of different shows and the anglers that we have in this sport, that we're approaching a interesting time in our sport where we're starting to see some of the great ones early on start to retire. You know, with Kevin Van Dam leaving, where we got these young guns coming up, like a Drew Gill that just won on the Invitationals, guys like yourself that are going to be the big names in our sport moving forward. So this is a cool way to kind of dive in, have some fun with you guys, and get people to know a little bit more about you beyond just seeing what you guys are doing at tournaments. So we got a little game, per se. It's called 21 Questions. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, but we're going to mix it up, be a little loose with it.
It's some fishing, some not fishing, just so you're aware of what could possibly be coming. So kind of serious, kind of fun. You don't know what's coming. So
yeah, some could be rapid fire. Like, you don't have to give too big of an answer for it. Well, some of them, I mean, feel free to expand on it. Yeah. So if you guys are good, we'll start getting ripped on this thing.
Yeah, let's roll.
Yeah, all right. Heck yeah.
All right, so first and foremost, we'll start it off with an easy one. That way we can start breaking the ice here and get rolling. And that is, we'll start with Jake and go to Julius. So we'll go in that order for these questions. And that is, how would you guys categorize yourself as an angler? So, like, if you were in Bassmaster magazine and, like, they're like, Jason Christie, you know, he's a flipper, he's a dock skip, what would you guys classify yourselves as?
It's kind of hard to say. I grew up on Lake Martin. It's a deep, clear spotted bass lake. I just moved here to Lanier. But when I spent some time down, you know, Southern Union Community College and then been on to go to Auburn, I spent a lot of time fishing these smaller Chattahoochee River lakes, Lake Eufaula, a bunch of those places. So I feel really comfortable fishing shallow grass, shallow vegetation, punching, flipping, frogging, swimming a jig. That would say, like, my strongest probably game is that shallow grass fishing, backwater fishing, that sort of deal. But moving back here to Lanier, you know, I'm having to learn that deep, clear spotted bass stuff again. So it's cool, different with live scope now, how the stuff I thought when I lived on Martin, the things I thought were the deal really weren't as big of a deal, or certain stuff that I kind of overlooked really was a lot bigger players. So yeah, I would think shallow grass fisherman for sure.
Is that what lake is behind you on the wall? Is
that one? Yeah, that one you follow. So yeah.
Bailey, you know that. You won a tournament on Eufaula.
Yeah. Dude,
I'm not bright. People know that on this show. I'm not the smartest guy.
So yeah, all those guys are just straight and narrow.
Yeah, we got that same thing up here with our Finger Lakes. They're just passing north to south. Yeah. Yeah, but Julius, what about you, man?
You know, West Coast kid, man. So grew up like around Phoenix area, and our home lake is called Lake Pleasant, and I mean, super deep, clear water fishery. It's only got largemouth in it, but you know, you're catching them as deep as 70, 80 feet. You know, sometimes a year on the bottom. So try to, you know, label myself as, you know, just light line guy, super finessey with some JDM, you know, finessey stuff in there. But I'd like to consider myself versatile too.
So you're out there in Bertrand's neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, we're like probably an hour apart.
All right. I've been talking with Josh. I've been meaning to get out that way. He says the winter bite out your guys' neck of the woods is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. There's a lot of cool shit going on this time of year.
You guys got a pretty wild striper bite too, don't you?
Yeah, in the summertime, you know, we get big boils and stuff. But the Colorado River has got those true giants that eat, like, you know, trout glides and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, God. Don't twist my arm.
Yeah.
Like, let me pass over the largemouth and the smallmouth and some of the spots out there. He's like, let me get one of them stripers. Like,
right.
Feel my forearms, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely a super unique part of the country to, you know, you don't think, you know, Arizona and, you know, bass fishing are the first two things you think of, but it's definitely a hidden gem. A couple good places for sure.
No doubt. All right. Well, we'll keep firing off on these, Andy.
All right. So, you know, you're coming up to weigh in. What is your walk-up song to the stage? And same order, we're going to continue with Jake to Julius. So, Jake.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I was listening to your podcast the other day with Rob G. And whatever his song was, the This Is The Way I Live, that's a pretty good one. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Got to give you something different.
I know, Julius has got the upper hand in this because he at least gets some time to think about the question. You're getting put on the spot.
I guess maybe we should flip flop it going.
Yeah, let me look at what I've been listening to lately.
You're pulling up that Spotify.
Cue the Jeopardy music, Bailey.
I know. I'll see. Let's actually see if it works, just for time's sake here. You guys tell me if you can hear the Jeopardy music. You guys hear this at all?
Oh, yeah. I can hear it.
You hear
it? Yeah, we got it.
We can get that ringing for you. Julius, if you have one, though, by all means, cut in front of Jake. Oh, he needs to Spotify, too?
trying to think.
Oh, man.
All right, Andy.
I don't know. I'm kind of goofy. Maybe like a Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, dude. I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm on. I've been on a Drake kick lately on the way to the ramp, and then I don't know, though. So,
for any specific reason as of recent?
Yeah. No, ready for anybody some random Drake knowledge, Bailey?
So no, not appropriate for this show. Hope anybody that understands knows the joke.
Yeah, <not that>.
I might even throw in like a Here Comes the Sun, like a Beatles or something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of out there. So
that's awesome. I'm all about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you got two songs literally stuck in my head in about 20 seconds apart. So thanks.
Right?
And he's going to be tapped out for the rest of the show.
My wife is like a huge Beatles fan and my little one loves it.
Hell so yeah.
We listen to the Beatles a ton. And Bob, like, it's like constantly on the playlist. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. It's happy music for sure.
Yeah.
So Jake, did you name one or did you say something Drake?
He's just Drake. He said, just give me Drake on stage.
Yeah,
he's going to sing
his like, yeah, like some country tune on the ramp, like some like Hank Williams type stuff.
There we go.
A little bit of everything. So yeah. My like top 10 songs or whatever, like the most like random songs probably could have
I like it. Eclectic music choice. That's my Spotify as well. Bailey knows all about it. So
dude, okay. There's a good chance. I know we're calling this 21 questions. There's a good chance with this show and our rabbit holes, we don't get to 21 because we'll go like 4 hours. But Andy is the most emotional roller coaster person to drive to the ramp with. Because like his music would be like screamo, then like old school rap, country, and then like Frozen Let It Go afterwards. And you're just like, I can't do this anymore, man.
Sorry, I have little kids.
I like it.
Yeah.
Fun childhood music, all right? Like, I got a 4.
Yeah, you can't blame the kids for that. You know it's your song.
Oh, the worst is like lately she loves the song I'm a Gummy Bear. So, like, that will randomly pop up as I'm driving down the road by myself. And I'm like, how do I get this off here so fast?
That's funny.
All right, next question.
Yeah. All right. So, when you guys are on the road, you guys are putting on a lot of miles. Name one drink and one food that is a mainstay for you guys on the road.
So, I drink a lot of
drinks. First, you got it.
Celsius's, they're pretty good. Got to stay awake. So I like those in the morning. And then as far as like food goes, we cook at these. Oh, I'll say crawfish for sure. Like when we're in like Louisiana or anything like that, Texas, Alabama, when it's springtime, love the crawfish. But when Grace comes up with us, she cooks a lot. She does, tries to keep us eating a little bit healthier. So. She does. What'd she do that one time at Hartwell that we all like? It was that casserole. So I don't know. Some cowboy casserole. She's screaming from over there.
So. Love it.
Yeah, I would say that. That's
was there. That was a good shit. Yeah,
that was good. Right.
What is cowboy casserole?
Okay, this isn't healthy, but it was tater tots. And then how would you describe it? It's tater tots with ground beef and cheese and bacon. That's not healthy at all, but it's
gut bomb.
Really filling to come home and eat
for sure.
And easy for us. We know the recipe now, so it's pretty easy for us to make.
So, nice.
Sounds great, honestly.
Yeah, it's killer.
Julius, what about you, man?
I don't eat much when I'm on the water, but when I get off, you know, I need like something good and hearty and, you know, maybe a beer. So Busch Light and a steak are two good staples. You definitely see that a couple times throughout the week.
Heck yeah.
I like it. Simple man, Busch Light and steak.
Yeah.
Now, so you bring a grill with you to grill that steak, I hope. Or are you just like
coating it in butter and
pan frying it?
No, I got that little Traeger Ranger. That thing goes everywhere with me. Heck, and yeah. It's just plug and play and makes good food.
Sick. Heck yeah.
We caught fish at that one tournament. Oh, at Toledo, man?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did cook fish.
Yeah, those smallmouth are good.
Nice. You're gonna get some bad DMs after this one.
I'm just kidding.
No smallmouth.
No small. They were crappie. They were Lake Martin crappie.
Ah, nice. That's good. All right, next one. So you're traveling from like tournament to tournament or to the ramp. Are you guys podcast listeners, music players, or do you talk to each other on the phone?
I would say I call Julius in the morning. Hey, where are you putting in that, dude? Or, hey, what's the price of the gas at this place? That kind of thing. And then listen to music. I already drive so much for work anyways. So all the podcasts, I usually keep those for, you know, the following week when I'm back on the road driving, that kind of stuff. So definitely more music and calling buddies on the way to the ramp type deal. So
awesome. And Julius, how about you?
Same deal. I end up talking to at least two people by the time I get to the ramp, and definitely listen to one or two, you know, hype up bangers before we get there, get fired up.
Heck yeah. So you don't have the roller coaster of emotion playlist. It's just hyped up bangers for Derby morning.
That's right.
Simple man.
Yeah, you don't want to ride with me, as Bailey says. You'll be hyped up and then crying in the passenger seat. So,
yeah, that's a good song too, Simple Man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right. So here's this one for you guys. Tomorrow, the world comes out and says we're banning all fishing. You're not allowed to fish anymore. What is your next career choice?
I would definitely be like, still catching stuff, like crocodile, alligator hunter type deal. Like Steve Irwin, like zookeeper type.
Catching, releasing big gators.
Yeah. If I didn't fish, I would totally be like a gator removal guy. I think they're so sick. Like, they're just sick animals. Like, I saw the videos you had that you follow, like with the gators and the kayak. I mean, it's kind of nerve wracking when you're eye level with one. But
it's a little intimidating.
Yeah, they're big up there. So they did a study on that pond, and it's 3 gators per acre, and it's 45,000 acres.
Holy crap.
Yeah. My brother was ledge fishing, had a school fired up. They quit biting. He was catching 4 or 5 pounders every cast on this little brim bed pole, but it's like deep brim bed. They're like 18 foot. And they quit biting. Instead, a 4-pounder jumps out of the water. Gator comes up to the surface in the middle of the lake.
What?
Yeah, they're out. They're not just on the bank in the grass. They're literally swimming on like ledges and schools. They know. It's just crazy.
Think about that next time you're warm and you got to jump in to cool off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a quick little snack.
Yeah.
Yo, real fast before we go to Julius, will you follow a story? As Jake mentioned, I was in a kayak, and this was like, I don't know why Hobie sent us there during prime mating season, but yeah. I was way up in this creek, and there's like little fingers off of it, and I'm in the middle, and I'm looking to go back into it, and there's like one giant gator where I'm trying to go. So I look to my right, and there's two other pretty big gators. Look to my left, there's two more big gators, and I'm like, all right. This is for you guys. I'll leave. I go to leave, and there's two in the middle facing me. So I'm like blocked in. I've never been more nerve wracked in my life pedaling by something, just hoping, please don't come after me.
Yeah.
You're not very big in a little dinky plastic kayak.
Yeah. Well, they can get in the basket if they want to.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if they thought I was another gator. Really funny story. It was the last day of the tournament. There was a giant female that was like putting her head out and growling. Like I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
There was a local that came in there and was with around me, and he heard it. And I looked at him like, hey man, what does that mean? And he goes, it means two things. And he goes, neither one do you want to stick around here for.
Yeah.
He's like, he's either going to eat you or he's going to try to mate with you. So you better get out of here.
What a roll.
Yeah.
Paddle as fast as you can, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. Julius, what about you, man? What would you be your next career choice?
Man, it'd be hard. I'd probably try to figure out how to do it illegally, but if it wasn't for that, I've always had a thing for, you know, I haven't done it much, but like I've always been interested in like scuba diving, you know, but not necessarily just like, you know, doing it, but like there's jobs down there, right? Like underwater, like scuba diving job sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I've heard they make some wicked freaking money too.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. I dig it.
I like it. All right. So next one, this could be fishing or non-fishing related. What is your guys' biggest fear?
I crack my neck a lot when I'm driving the boat, and I'm so terrified that I'll like pull away and like, break my neck. Yeah, that's probably number one.
Self-inflicted wound.
Just something like I always tell myself like that.
Jake thinks about this a lot,
bro. Like, so yeah, that would probably be it for me.
Dang, how about you, Julius?
Dude. I feel that still so hard, dude. Like, I used to crack my neck, and I'm like, man, I got to stop. One of these times, I'm going to – my mom was – she scared me when I was younger, and she's like, one of these times, you're going to crack your neck, and it's going to stay like that. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to stop.
You know, the older you get, the more likely you are to, like, cause a hernia in your neck, and you could probably get stuck down or up. Or yeah.
Well, that's how Julius' neck is, because y'all are just staring at the watch scope.
We're all guilty of that.
Right.
What about you, Julius?
I would say probably, you know, being not able to fish, like if something were to happen to where, you know, you physically can't fish anymore, like what do you do? That's a pretty scary thought.
You go scuba diving.
Yeah, sure. Right. But
if you could scuba dive, you could fish, Andy. Come on now. Fair.
I'm saying like you lose your legs or something, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's spoken like a true fish head, man. That's all your worries is you can't go fishing.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Here's one for you guys being all over the map and covering the country. Favorite lake and least favorite lake.
So I'm going to exclude Alabama as like, cause that's kind of like home. I'm going to exclude everything in Alabama. I really, really, really like Toledo Bend. I've had fished two tournaments there. Did well both times I've been there. I really like the Red River. I do not like the Salmon River. But
really?
I do like the Salmon River. It's cool, but I like Red. Like I like the Red River. Like it's just like you're punching. It's like we have to go scope every single tournament, and then that's like a cool time that you can like. You don't even have to plug it in. And it's like, yeah, guys catch them scoping down there, no doubt. But you don't have to do it. And that's like, it's like what I was talking to you about earlier, like maybe doing the kayak tournaments and stuff. That would be my kind of, forgot what the word is called, but basically be able to like go kayak and like get into cool places and, you know, go.
Get in the backwaters.
Backwater, yeah, get that kind of stuff. That's what I would like to do. So. I like that. The St. Lawrence River is cool. I just don't understand it yet, basically. So,
yeah, I feel that.
So,
all right, Julius.
Before you answer or ask the question, my two answers would have still been the same, by the way. But absolute least favorite Red River, despise it. And I love the St. Lawrence River in Lake Ontario. By far, my favorite place.
Yeah,
and that's how you can tell
and
your.
Me and
friend.
Jake have been there together. We've fished both places.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I like upstate New York. Love it up there, but I love Oneida. Oneida is probably my other favorite lake. So
Jake doesn't know how to use a spinning pole.
I do know how to use spinning rod. I do know how to use spinning rod. I just okay, whatever. I can just smoke out there when I come.
That's awesome. I love that. Just polar opposites.
Fantastic. And it's not even that they chose like different lakes. It was just literally a flip.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So good. All right, guys. So, you're growing up before you got into fishing. What was each of yours first
job?
So I was a kid. So when I was, I think my first job I got when I was 14, I cleaned koi ponds and cleaned lobster tanks. I worked for Alabama Pond and Aquarium. So basically throw your Crocs on, jump in these koi ponds, basically get a scrub, clean it out, drain the water, make sure. I mean, I had somebody with me that knew, like, you know, pH levels, water content, you know, everything. And then we'd go to restaurants, make sure that the filtration system and all the fish tanks and lobster tanks were all good. So that was my first job. So.
That's a pretty sick first job.
Yeah, it was cool. So, and then, yeah, he sponsored me my first year fishing. And then he ended up, he fishes tournaments too. And we've done a couple guide trips together, like electronic training with him. So he's a cool dude for sure. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
How about you, Julius?
So technically my first job was at a restaurant as a busser or whatever, but I ran my first guide trip, bass guide trip for the Hookup Outfitters at 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Huh. Thrown in the fire.
Hey, that's something to write home about though.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Are you still guiding now?
Yeah. Who knows if we were, yeah, I still guide for the same outfitter. Yep. So it's been a good place for me for sure.
Heck yeah.
Awesome.
We already asked about the food and stuff, but kind of add on top of it. Is there a guilty pleasure food that you guys have?
I'm a big ice cream guy. Like, love ice cream. Like, or like blizzards, DQ.
Oh, dude. Yes.
The Reese's blizzards are big on those. For sure.
Heck yeah. I had a blizzard today, actually. Not going to lie about it. It was snowing when I walked up to the ice cream stand. It was fantastic.
Yeah, how's the snow right now?
We have no snow on the ground at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only in Buffalo can you go from 7 feet to the next week having none.
Yeah, I've heard y'all talk about that before. It'd be like one part of Buffalo half a ton, the other half doesn't. Oh. Like crazy stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, like, only in Buffalo. Like, I think you're meaning like you could have it 1 week and the next week it all melts. You can also in Buffalo go 10 miles in either direction and one spot has 70 inches and the other spot has none. So yeah. Like it's a weird place.
Julius, what about you though? Oh, we lose him.
Oh,
Julius.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you. I lost you for a second.
Gotcha. No, you're good. You're good. Guilty pleasure snack or food?
Guilty pleasure snack. Man, I like, lately it's been like candy, like those Nerds clusters.
Oh, good.
Those are pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, driving to the lake or, you know, or when you get off the lake, like, you know, like to get a drink and something, that's definitely a guilty snack.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Dude, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was the Duck Call Room. I don't know if you guys listened to that podcast with the Duck Commander boys, like Cy Robertson and them. They put me onto those Nerd clusters, and it is not
good. Yeah.
Like, I can't get off those things.
Chasing it out.
I know. Well, speaking of the guilty pleasure, my life has been made that Little Debbie followed our podcast on social.
No way.
Yeah. So we're in the door, boys.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Somebody had to have shared it to them and said, look at this.
I don't know who it was, man. I don't know how, but like we had a show talking about Little Debbie a bunch. And then like a couple of days later after we posted the show, they followed us on social. I'm like, wait a second.
Algorithms are weird.
I know. I'll think. Could you imagine a Little Debbie title sponsor like Boat Wrap? You know how cool that would be?
The zebra cake?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yes. Like a cosmic brownie.
With
like,
the stripes.
Yeah, the stripes. Oh, yeah.
That would be badass.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Hell yeah.
I'm a big, like, what is it? Nutter Butters, I think. Like the long stick ones. Oh, man. I used to eat like a whole box of them. It was awful. So good. All right. Yeah. So, next one, going a little NFL on you. Are you for or against Taylor Swift?
Against.
Cut right to the chase. I like it.
Yeah, no.
How about you, don't mind her. I don't mind it. I mean, harmless, I guess. Whatever.
That's good.
I don't.
Decent it's to the, look at.
I don't mind all. The fact that she's there. Like, that's totally cool with me.
Yeah.
It's the videos of them, her and Travis, like making out and stuff on social media. I don't need that, man. I don't follow Bleacher Report for people making out.
It's true, like, no fault of Taylor's or Tay-Tay's or whatever they want to call her, right? Like, she was straight up chugging beers in that that suite of hers, and that's great. She was straight up chugging, putting those beers back with the boys, and I'm pretty sure she was pretty wasted by the time she got down to that field at the end of that game. So, yeah.
I mean,
you got to look.
She did NFL right then. I mean, that's what everybody does when they go to a football game.
Right, exactly.
Right? What else do you do?
Love it. All right. Biggest bass story. Walk us through your guys' PB.
So, I grew up the pond in our neighborhood that I grew up fishing, like, it's a 15-acre lake. We had a little 10-foot, like, they're the Pelican Bass Raiders. They sell them at Academy, like, a 10-foot kind of little deals. They're not very stable, like, two people. Me and my brother, we'd always, like, want to stand up on them because it's like, oh, you're fishing on bass boats. You don't want to sit in a chair. But we'd fish in this place, and, you know, there was a guy in the neighborhood who would always drop brush out offshore. And that's kind of – we didn't have any graphs or anything. We just kind of figured out how to triangulate and stuff. I remember I was – freshman or maybe I was 10th grade high school, get out of class, got done with the exam, and like Alabama weather is, you're like, you know, 80 degrees in December. And then it was one of those days, like, you went into class wearing shorts and then it got cold. Well, my buddy Brady came after school with us, you know, his barometric pressure was dropped, and, you know, he knew it was gonna be a good fishing day. Went out there and we smoked him on a jerk bait like all afternoon. And then, you know, he had to go in for dinner. Well, dropped them off in the bank. I was like, you know, they're biting really good. I'm going to make one more lap around the lake and kind of go fish this, like, offshore. I didn't know it at the time, but it was – I called it a trench. It was basically a ditch where a creek channel was running in, had brush around it. I fired a jerkbait back there, the pointer, lake craft pointer, the purple back with white belly. Threw it back there, and it just – I'm jerking a couple times. It locks up, and this big behemoth comes jumping out of the water, can't even get its head out of the water. Started pulling the boat around, lifted it, grabbed it, and luckily my friend's house was really close by. I called him. They brought a scale down, and it weighed right under 14 pounds. It was a giant. Ooh. So,
that's a whale bass.
13. So I say right under 14. It was, you know, the saltwater scales they have where it's just like the numbers, not digital. It was one of those, but it was absolute monster. So, biggest one I've ever seen. So, oh. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I freaked out.
We gotta
like it pulled the boat everywhere, so pond fish doesn't count. But they asked about big bass. Stupid little brothers on here.
Well,
it looks like you got the Maddox Pam. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So I will say though, Carson, he's a really good like puncher flipper. My brother, he caught a 12 behind me on. Place in Florida.
Like, I was saying the same pond, even though he's saying it doesn't.
No, it wasn't the same pond. It was a place in Florida.
So, that's sick.
Yeah, but Julius caught some toads too.
Yeah, let's hear him, Julius.
Yeah, probably like most memorable big fish, bumping 13. It was like 12 and change. I was on a photo shoot for Sims with a bunch of guys, and we were at Lake Bacharach. Mexico. I mean, I know it's known for big ones, but the story is kind of cool. And like,
yeah,
it's like we were just having a fun day, and you know, they like bring you lunch out there, and we're just like, you know, hanging out. And well, prior to, you know, start drinking a couple beers out there, having fun, and then for lunch they brought us margaritas. So, you know, I got a couple margaritas in me, and you know, I'm like having fun, joking with the guide and stuff. And the next spot we pull up to, I just like, you know, I got a good buzz going. So I throw out there and backlash my shit and clean it up, and I'm reeling it in. Like, I'm just feeling good. And next thing you know, I just have one, like, eat it right at the boat. Like, not even perfect. It was just a mess. And I just leaned on it, and it was one of the biggest bass of my life. Come jumping out in front of the boat. You fish out of these pongas. Like, I mean, I ate it with probably, like, 4 foot of line out, but it was just cool. And, you know, got down there and scooped it. Like, you know, the guy was trying to grab it. I'm like, no, I got it. And I, like, grabbed it, and I caught it on a Warbaits underspin with, like, the biggest Kytec they make on it, you know? Like, I shouldn't have got that bite, but I did, and it was just cool.
That's sick.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to say, like, you caught it and fell in or something like that, the way the story was going.
Dude, the next spot, I hooked one on an A-rig, and it turns the whole ponga, and then, like, I'm like, oh, I got a big one. And then I hook, it goes like this, and I'm like, what is that? And it goes the complete other opposite direction. And like one comes off, and I reel them in, and I have, it was on an Alabama rig, and I catch one almost 10. And then I'm like looking at my rig. Well, the wire broke. And next thing I know, here comes one bigger jumping with the wire and the bait stuck in his mouth.
No way.
So I almost almost got probably 20 plus on two, but I was messing around. But here's that one. Oh,
shoot.
Yeah,
big old fish right there.
Oh Lord!
Yeah,
sounds like they're feeding them bass margaritas too. Oh Lord!
Yeah, tilapia margaritas.
Oh yeah!
Yeah, no kidding.
The good stuff.
Yeah,
that's it. All right. Well, speaking of Little Debbie title sponsors and stuff, and now we just went through some really cool boat wraps, right? Like, what would be your first choice of a dream non-endemic title sponsor? Make you think again. You might have to cue that Jeopardy music.
Get it rolling.
This is a tough one. Non-endemic.
It could be anything, man. It could be like the old Aaron Martin's Crown Royal days.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe Toyota. I mean, I guess that might be. No, that's not. There's Toyota guys. Let me think. Red Bull or Celsius. Yeah. No,
Red Bull, like, boat wrap would look sweet. Yeah. And like a blazer. Like something super fast.
Yeah, that would be badass. Like,
oh, heck yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Right.
That would be dope. Yeah. That's the people we need to hit up. Like that, or like REI, like big companies like that.
On the same page, buddy.
Julius.
All right, Julius, what do you got?
I think Marlboro would be pretty spectacular. Like yes! The black, the, you know, the red and white, like iconic, like F1 car, like
that. Great NASCAR effect right there.
Yeah. Kenta said that he's like, yeah, they can't do any nicotine like sponsorship stuff. Like people have asked for like Zen and stuff, and they can't do it. But Kenta was like, I wish
But they can do alcohol?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. So. What, like, or the old Camel packs, too. Remember that? Like, the old, like, partial, like, 2D Camel. Yeah, that'd be good, sure. too.
Like, Wrangler jeans would be a sick one, too.
Oh, like, the iconic, like, Dale Earnhardt, yellow and blue.
Yeah, red man.
Yeah.
So or Bailey's Pro Shop.
Yeah. Do what?
I said, or Bailey's Pro Shop.
Oh.
Yeah, that'd be real good, too.
I mean, it didn't even click. Dude, that would actually be sick. Some of those wraps. That actually is funny, though. They a good point. They allow alcohol, but no tobacco companies. Even though, which is funny because you have, like, because Bertrand's got, like, the Smoky Mountain, whatever it's called. Smoky which Mountain. Is like a, it's like caffeine pouches or something like that. Yeah. Which it's
basically.
Yeah. It's no nicotine, right? So
No.
Just it's herbal odd. Snuff.
Yeah.
Herbal.
Weird.
Yeah.
No fun league.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe the NPFL will allow it.
I don't they probably will. They might. I'm not sure.
We'll put in a word to Paul Benson. Yeah. He'll get it done.
I didn't realize
the matching Marlboro jersey.
Yeah.
This is a good one. A Copenhagen and a Listerine wrap in one. Could you imagine
that? Yeah.
That'd be real good.
That'd be good.
Half and half.
Was it Matty Robertson was, I think, joking about the Trojan condoms boat. That would have been so absolutely good. Hilarious.
Yeah. Pornhub boat.
Magnum down the side.
That's hilarious. All right. Gosh. With that one, we could go on forever.
Right.
So tournament day, whether it's huge wins or something, tournament day gets canceled. What are you guys? Are you guys gonna go find somewhere else to fish? Are you gonna go golfing? What is your day off tournament activity?
Waffle House for sure, or somewhere like that. And then, like last year at Harris Chain, we had a canceled day, and me, John, Logan, and John's granddad all got in the boat, and Harris Chain, you got all those lakes. We stayed on this lake called Silver Lake, which is like super small. And there's like no ramps on the entire lake. And there's like this maybe one or two ramps. We took turns, John Garrett, Logan Parks, and me took turns knocking on ladies' doorsteps, knocking on their door and asking if we could please back our boats in the water. And then finally we found a lady that would let us back it in because she went to Auburn and she was an Auburn fan. You know, me and Logan went to Auburn. So yeah, it was a pretty cool deal. So we're able to back her in, and we had four of us in a boat. It's pretty fun.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Julius, what about you, man?
I would say I'm typically scared to go fishing because, like, you know, you get a canceled day, right? So you're going to fish the next day that I'm going to break something. So I typically just go drink beer at the campground or go somewhere with the buddies.
Heck yeah.
Julius, you and I could have a lot of fun.
Come on.
Hey, what you guys doing? I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's good. That's all I picture is literally going to the ramp, then they're telling you it's canceled, and then you come back and it's like 6:30 in the morning, you crack a beer, your buddy's like, what are you doing at 6:30? I don't know, tournament's canceled. It's time to crack it open.
That's right. Bush we're stopping. Steaks we already on the grill, got
9 a.m.
Yeah. We're stopping at the gas station for sure.
That's awesome.
Can you not hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, this is weird.
Oh, boy.
You can always try.
It comes in and out.
You could try backing out of the thing and try coming back in. That might help.
Yeah, let's see. Here we go.
You hear us? See us?
I can hear you, yeah. I'm just entering the studio is what it's saying.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, we can still see you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
here he is.
We got two Jakes now. We got two Jakes.
Wait. We're good now, right?
Yeah, I guess. We're good. Good now. Yeah, we're good.
All right. Sorry, I'm not.
Oh, that was good.
That's why I'm not a stoker, so.
You're good. You're good. All right, Andy, next question.
All right. So the self-thought moment that you guys peaked in fishing.
Say it again. It was the...
Like the moment that you personally thought that you peaked in tournament fishing.
I would say Toledo Bend last year. I feel like that was like, if I could fish every tournament like that, would be incredible. Like, I just had a... all right practice, but what, nothing crazy, kind of just got like kind of comfortable in kind of a couple areas. Ran a shad spawn in the morning, caught him day one up shallow. Day two they were not there, wasn't happening. Pulled the plug on it and went and fished offshore, and literally it was kind of cool. It was like, if you ever watched that old live Toledo Bend where Jacob Wheeler, like, first morning he started a buzz bait swimming a jig shad spawn type deal, it was around the same time he grabs like 10 rods off the front deck and just shoves them in the back and takes the ones that were in his like co-angler rod thing and just adds 10 more to the front deck, and they're all deep stuff. That's how I like to fish, where it's like you have 10 shallow rods on the deck and you got 10 deep rods on the deck, like just kind of bouncing around both. And that's kind of how you follow fishes a lot. You can go grind a 10 plug out deep, and then you run up, fish, swim jig, and punch mats for 5 or 10 minutes and catch a big one doing that. So I can fish every tournament like Toledo Bend. I'm not a huge scoper, but I figured something out on a ledge with scope that tournament that like really changed the game for me in that tournament. So,
hell yeah. Awesome.
So,
all right, Julius.
I would say, so the US Open is just kind of like the biggest prestigious tournament like we have as far as being a West Coast kid, you know, like that's the one that you want to win out here. And I would say probably 6 years ago before I started fishing the Opens, I'd fished as a co-angler, you know, growing up. And then, you know, I fished it first year as a pro and like still learning, you know, trying to figure out some, I wasn't really dialed and it was before live scope. So totally different game. And I had probably the worst 3 days of fishing I've ever had as far as just everything going the wrong way, right? Like just mechanical issues, losing fish, just, you know, just everything that could have happened went bad. And I got 11th in the tournament. So out of 225 guys. So it was kind of like, wow, you know, if I can just make some good decisions and things could actually go my way and I throw myself out there and put myself in the fire, maybe this is something I can do. And ever since that moment, I've been kind of, you know, chasing it hot.
Yeah. I say when everything goes bad, you do that well. I say you're doing something right.
Yeah, it was kind of an eye-opener term for sure.
Heck, that's yeah. Awesome, dude. All right. So here's the situation. You guys have to make the decision between a largemouth, a smallmouth, and a spotted bass, wipe one of them off the face of the earth.
Smallmouth.
So so fast. That was so fast.
He hates them.
Oh, no,
we're talking like
absolute no hesitation, just gone. he went Thanos, like out of here.
Yeah. He said peace. Are you talking like northern?
What do you say?
You're talking like northern or like in general?
I mean, they're cool, but like it's largemouth are so sick, and then like they live everywhere. Like they could be on a ledge, they could be in a puddle on the side of the road, like. You can't kill them, you know. Like largemouth's just a beast, and then spots are just like missiles coming up for top water. And the way they respond, it's all like they're just different, you know. And then smallmouth are cool, but it's just the real main thing is I just don't understand them like a lot of guys do. So that's probably my biggest weakness. Is I really like catching them on the hair. And the spy bait. Like I love, yeah. That's probably my two favorite baits to throw. I don't like the drop shot stuff. I like looking at them, chasing around like they're bonefish, like doing that whole deal. So.
All right.
My ring light died. I got Earl ring light.
Oh, jeez. No more smallmouth. What about you, Julius?
I would say, you know, it would benefit me as an angler to get rid of largemouth just because of the way I like to fish. I think, you know, spots and smallmouth like me and I like them, but I mean, like Jake said, they're everywhere and they're so abundant that it would be, you know, I feel like I'd miss them, but if I had to, I'd probably go largemouth.
So if you guys travel to tournaments together, you probably make a great pair, being that you guys probably fish completely different, polar opposites than what you like. So you probably are a great pair.
We don't see each other on the water very often.
Yeah, if we do, it's because I broke my trolling motor cable or I ran out of pink worms or something. You know, like, and Julius, like, you don't even need to be throwing the pink worm. You throw margarita mutilator or something like that. So.
Oh, that's like, he's not wrong.
Give me a black, a red bug, and a pink, and I'm good.
Tennessee awesome. River boy right there.
Yeah.
Hey, that's your best travel partners, right? Is the one you never even see when you're actually out in the lake.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We have some fun on the road for sure.
No doubt.
Hell yeah, boys.
We either see each other or we don't. That's the thing. Like, we either do not see each other at all or we see each other
every spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like all Oklahoma, we were around each other a lot.
Mud hole.
Seems to be working.
Yeah. Fishing happens. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
What is one thing that you are both currently trying to make a habit of? Like lifestyle change or fishing style change?
I got two. Definitely. So, you know, like a lot of herring guys, like Emil or Paul March or all those, like the dudes that are like hammer herring fishermen are all skinny guys. Like they're fast on the water, agile. And that's what we got Hartwell next. I just moved to Lanier. I want to get agile and like run a million spots in a day. And like the other thing is like looking at scope and just really paying attention to how fish behave. And that Drew Gill podcast they had, it really kind of opened my eyes for that. Because I'll be honest with you, I consider live scope basically like spotlighting deer. Like that's my whole thing is like, is I'm going to throw out as many dots as possible and cover as much water. It's almost a cheat code. If you're not on anything, you can go and rather than you just pick an area and go scope and throw it as many dots as possible. It's almost a cheat code to go catch a limit. You don't have to be on a pattern. You don't have to be on anything, but there are guys that understand live scope and completely like mine is more like running and gunning pattern for like what I've traditionally did. Basically, this is my approach to live scope. Just throw in as many dots as possible. When there's guys like Drew Gill or Tyler Williams that know exactly how that fish is sitting, how it behaving with different, like he's on that side of the brush pile because of the sunlight and the shadow on that side. And that's, he can tell that with scope. I want to get better at understanding that kind of science behind it, not just throwing at dots. So, but throwing at dots. So,
yeah. Julius?
What was the question again?
All right. So, what is one thing, or as in Jake's answer, multiple things that you are trying to make a habit of? Like could be personally or on the water, just trying to change up to be like more efficient in something.
Yeah. I would say one thing is, you know, trying to be this year, you know, more faithful and been going to church a bunch and making a commitment to that. So definitely working on that and that's going great. And then on the fishing side of things, just, you know, every day, new challenge, just trying to get better. I mean, everyone says that, but every day you go out there, just I just want to feel like I accomplished something and I added one more thing to my arsenal every day.
I love that. Heck yeah.
There's no bad answers. Let's be real.
What is it? Do you guys listen to the Kelsey podcast where they go like, there's no dumb questions, just dumb people?
No.
That's good, though.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Not saying it applies resonates to you, Jake, but take it how you will. All right. Are you guys the first to the boat ramp or the last?
I'm like a 9 a.m.er, but I'm like off. I like push that 30-minute after sunset rule pretty close. But I'm not, I'm definitely not the first one to roll up.
Usually first one there, usually in the morning, last one off, but I'm the last one to get there during the tournament day. I'm usually pretty late tournament day.
Yeah, Jake's you value that extra sleep in the morning.
Yeah, try to. Or always have something. I forgot to get gas, I have to turn around. Or
unless it's a shad spawn tournament, then. Then I mean, you have to be there early, but other than that, I just get there when, you know, between eight and nine, an hour after everyone's gotten there.
Love it.
That's awesome.
All right. So what is the most embarrassing thing that you have done on the water?
Oh boy.
Julius, if you know your answer, you could cut Jake and go first if you'd like.
Most embarrassing. I mean, I have one in my head, but it's just kind of graphic, I guess. Like,
I mean,
I can keep. I mean, I feel like we all have this story, right? But you gotta go, you gotta go. And we were on a lake with a lot of docks, and you know, there wasn't really anywhere to hide. So I just went about doing my business, and some old man's like standing on his dock, saw it all go down, and you know, he's like, "Dude, my kids swim here," and I'm like, "Dude, sorry, but I would say probably that."
My kids swim here.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm like apologizing. I'm like, "Dude, I'm sorry. This was an emergency. You have to understand. I'm leaving."
All right, bro.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's funny. Jake, what do you got?
So Chesapeake Bay, like last 2 years ago, like I went and ran up the Susquehanna River. Like, you know, I'm thinking I'm confident, badass. I know how to run current, like run sketchy places in the Alabama River. Well, it didn't occur to me that the tide and the current were going opposite directions. So the seams that I was thinking I was running were not the right seams, and I just took my entire lower unit off in front of all these people. I ripped her off pretty good. So, it hurt. Like,
what haven't you ripped off your boat?
That is true. That is very true. Oh,
we call Jake Captain Destructo on the road.
Yeah. Before that NPFL tournament we just fished, I looked at my trolling motor. I called the Garmin or talked to Garmin about this show, and I was like, "I need some new bushings in my trolling motor." And he's like, "Here you go, bro. Like, you know, good fix is easy." So I get home night before tournament, and I'm like, "Oh, I got to do this real quick." And because my trolling motor's a little wobbly. Well, it really wasn't my bushings. I only had one screw holding my trolling motor to my boat. Don't know how. Jeez. Yeah, literally, I could stick my finger in between my trolling motor and my boat. So that was not very cool. So got it all fixed up, and I'm taking it to Sonar Pros here in a few weeks to get really dialed in. So. Yeah. That's
funny. Captain Destructo.
I like that. I do break a lot. So.
It's going to get expensive.
Oh, it has already. Especially because the NPFL doesn't have a service crew.
Oh, that can't be good for you, Jake. Yeah.
They got a Yamaha not in Mercury on it. So. Tough. For sure. So.
All right. Well, fellas, we're down to one last question here. You've made it through the gauntlet.
All right.
That is, would you rather win the Classic or catch the world record bass?
Classic, 100%.
Yeah, Classic.
I mean, being a tournament angler, I just think that's, you know, the holy grail of all holy grails. And you're an elitist, right? You become part of that group of people that I feel like the reason why we do this is because of that tournament, period.
Yeah, I agree.
Feel that. Good. All right, well.
Record in
that. I figured that was going to be somewhat of a quick question, but not as that quick. I thought maybe you guys would think about like the world. So I'm going to leave you guys with one last question again. So I lied.
Okay.
When I had asked Taku and I asked everybody that's new to the show, we always ask the three people that you'd love to have a Busch Light and a steak with, and pick their brain. So I'm gonna leave you guys with two each. All right. So anybody, doesn't have to be fishing. They could be alive 1,000 years ago. Could be alive today. Doesn't matter. What two people would you guys love to go to dinner, have a beer, have a steak, and pick their brain?
Huh. I'm gonna go like Pablo Escobar and like John Daly. I'm gonna go no fishing. Oh, shit. Just like
that's,
if I have that opportunity.
Damn.
That's a steak in a keg. That's not a beer.
And a whole lot of Marlboros.
Yeah. I'm in. Put me in, coach.
That's awesome.
Man.
Yeah, that's a tough one to beat. I would say you need to give me three. I would do Jimmy Buffett and It's hard to pick. I'd either say Drew Cook or Patrick Walters. One of the two.
Oh, okay. Any reason why those two?
I think those are the two best fishermen on planet Earth right now. I really do. I think Drew Cook's very underrated. I would love to go practice with, like, watch them practice a tournament. I would love to go do that. Like, I think they're just different. They're built different. Different breed. They're elite. They truly are elite. So, those two guys, especially. They know how to scope, but they know how to fish shallow and fish in the mud and fish in the dirt. And I don't know. Those guys know how to win bass tournaments and know how to get paid in bass tournaments. They're always in the mix for Angler of the Year. That's probably the most prestigious title. So I'd have to go with those two guys for sure. So it was kind of cool. First NPFL tournament. I'm right beside Patrick Walters. Never talked to him before. I've talked to Drew Cook a couple times, but Patrick comes up to me and, like, I'm not thinking he's going to say anything to me. He looks over, smiles. He goes, "Are you excited?" And we're at blast off. He's just like, "Are you excited?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Me too." And I was like, that's awesome. Yeah, that's
it. So, you're like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
No. That guy's about to catch him.
Yeah. And then in that tournament, too, I looked on this pocket, Drew Cook's back there. He wasn't having a great tournament till the final day, but I was like, there is no way I'm going to go fish behind Drew Cook, bro. Like,
vacuum.
Yeah. And then I talked to him on the water, and I was like, "You got him?" And he's like, "I got 3 pounds." And that was at 12:30. The dude dropped 20 pounds. He weighed in at 215. Like, you give those boys long enough, they're going to figure it out. He's like, they might have a bad day or two, but they are going to figure it out before the end of the tournament. So,
yeah. Or he had him already and he wanted you out of there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Jake's sitting there now. He's like, dang, yeah, maybe he did have
time. Yeah, maybe. He was in a place that we used to go to my buddy's lake house. It was my buddy's lake house, and we used to always go fishing the kayak back here in this little creek deal, and it's pretty loaded. But yeah, he was in there. I was like, even if he's having a bad tournament, I am not fishing behind Drew Cook.
Heck yeah. Well, boys,
good deal.
Thank you guys a ton for taking time out to jump on the pod, and hopefully people learn a bunch about you guys, and maybe some non-endemics we'll reach out to wrap them both next year.
All that non-endemic, hit us up.
Yeah, no kidding. So for folks that are watching or listening, these two gents, as well as Taku, all of the social will be down in the description so you guys can follow these guys. Highly encourage you to support them any way you can. But for real, thank you guys for joining. And we're definitely going to have to get you boys back on here pretty soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Had a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, all right, boys, we'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you again.
Yep. And safe travels. Don't break anything.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, don't
break out.
See you guys. See you.
Have a good one.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. Great. I definitely think we got to make this somewhat of a series, Andy, where we got to get some of the young guns on here to learn more about them beyond just what we're seeing either on social media or seeing on a live stream, things like that. Let's see, really open up to who these guys' characters are, which, like we talked about on Biz from the Bass Boat earlier this week, letting guys see, letting the public see their character, who they are, that helps them personally lead to sponsors, things like that, because people like to see when you're real with who you are. You know, we need more personalities in this sport. So these are two young guns, we said, that I think are going to be some names we hear for the remainder of their time that they want in the bass fishing industry. And nonetheless, I think today's episode was freaking awesome.
Yeah, great.
Great one. And
the biggest takeaway is, like, we knew Taku's English was getting better, but I was not expecting it to be that good. Like,
yeah, and I wasn't expecting Wes Logan's to be that bad.
Yeah,
I gotta clip that dude and send it to him. It was too funny. Called out by Taku. I can't understand it. What do you know? You got a southern drawl.
Oh, yeah,
he can't understand you. Oh, that's awesome.
Poor Wes.
So good. I know.
Poor Wes or Oh, good for Wes.
No, we're just going to poke fun at Wes just because. Just because it's Wes and he can take it. But yeah, as we are rounding out the show, guys, just a reminder, there's the Omnia Fishing Garmin LiveScope Plus giveaway going on right now until the 20th. You can sign up as long as you're a premium pro member.
Yep.
By the 20th, you are entered to win a LiveScope Plus system as well as a big old Garmin fish finder to go along with it. So with that, folks, make sure you guys sign up and get involved in our Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing Group, as Monday will be our first Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing show of the year for Toledo Bend. It's coming up fast. It's here. It's time to go. So, folks, make sure you guys join the group. Andy, anything else for the folks?
No, I'm excited for Monday Night Live in the Fantasy Fishing Show. I think Toledo Bend's going to be a slugfest, so I'm really excited to watch that one.
So I'll be at Lake Murray. I am praying the signal there is going to be good. Otherwise, I might have to find like a local bar or restaurant that'll let me do a little podcast.
There's plenty enough boat, and there's plenty enough boat houses on Lake Murray. The signal has to be somewhat decent, so we'll figure it out.
We're going to find out one way or another, because we're also going to have Tuesday Night Live, because Mr. Old Stephen Barden, our fisheries biologist pal, will be joining us back on the show next week. As we get more info on who we're going to have for next week, I'll be with Justin Largen, who's the Kayak Fishing Weekly host as well, so he'll be joining us on those shows. We'll have the Road podcast studio with us, so it'll be good. As well as this coming weekend, Santee Cooper BPT event will be going down. Looking forward to watching that one. Nonetheless, Andy, another great show tonight. Yep. Folks, appreciate you guys as always, and we'll see you next week. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you like some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Sears Anger fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.